Greetings, saints. Many, many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless you and keep you. We've got an interesting study today. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you would bless us mightily by your Spirit with understanding and, of course, intercede to bring forth your will in this situation that we're in the world. And we praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to talk about the bad figs being removed and the coming of the good figs. Okay, first I'm going to share a revelation given to you through Sandy Shaw. Don and Marlene had this transcribed for her. And she received this dream twice on January the 28th and the 29th in this 2019. Sandy said, "The way this dream starts, I don't think it's in a hospital, but I saw 12 newborn baby boys. I was looking around to find the mothers or nurses. Each of the babies had a bottle in their bassinets, and all the babies were crying at the same time, and all of them wanted milk at the same time, all at the same time. Well, the 12 babies acting together at the same time represents a corporate body of the man-child, the new reformer leadership that will be in one accord and will come to a maturity in one accord. The first one I changed had cloth diapers with rubber pants. Then I picked him up to feed him and noticed that the milk was at the perfect temperature because I had tried it on my wrist. And I burped him and put him down and then went to the next one. I did that 12 times. And that's when I realized that they were all male." Well, that doesn't surprise us. The man-child administration will be all male, as were previous types in the Bible, including Jesus' administration. She said, "There was a recliner chair in the back of the room, so I went to sit down. I went to sleep, and it only seemed like a few minutes. Then I heard a crying, so I opened my eyes now, and the babies were all 1 year old." So this maturing happens, as we have seen, very quickly. And in corporate. In other words, they're all growing together. "And as I went each time to feed them, I sang a worship song. On the other side of the room, I saw a table that had their bottles on it. They were crying because they couldn't reach them. They had to be fed. I grabbed a bottle and a diaper set and then laid them down on a diaper pallet. It looked like a 2-inch pad with a pillow and a blanket. And then I fell asleep. I had been singing to them. I did it 12 times. And then I went to the recliner again and fell asleep. I woke up because they were tapping on my legs. They're now 2 years old, so they're growing very fast. The maturity of the man-child ministry is coming very fast. The man-child, the individuals, were born a long time ago, just like Jesus was born 30 years before he started his ministry. But we're talking about the birth of the man-child ministry now that's coming. These people have been doing the work, but in immaturity and without the great anointing that's about to come. So now, suddenly, after a nap, they're 2 years old. And one of them said, "Eat, eat." So they're talking too. And now on that table, instead of bottles, were sippy cups and a bowl of baby food. I grabbed the bowl and went to the carpet in the right corner of the room, and I sat down and fed them there. And when the food was gone, we would go get the sippy cups full of milk. And I kept thinking, there should be some clothes for them now. Well, the clothes represent putting on the works of Jesus. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, right? As Paul said. There was a pile of them on the right side of the floor. And then I thought, I've got to wash them. There was a sink in the back of the room. So I threw them in and reached for the snow soap. S-N-O-W. Okay, so it's got to be good soap to clean up the walk and the life of the man-child ministry. And as I washed them, I noticed that they were immediately dried. I put them on the boys and gave them their sippy cups. Then we went to the carpet and sat down and started singing. Three songs we were singing. So everybody was singing. Even the boys were singing. Jesus Loves Me, the B-I-B-L-E, and then Walking Hand in Hand. That's the song I love to sing in Spanish. The boys sang the words that they knew, and we had just finished singing when one little boy stood up and said, "When is he coming?" And I said, "Who?" And they all said in unison, "Jesus." And then I woke up. And I dreamed this twice, which, of course, Joseph said, when a dream is doubled, it means it's surely going to come to pass. So we know this is going to come to pass in a spiritual way, not a physical way, but it's going to come to pass. And we know that Jesus is coming with the anointing of the man-child administration. Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Points this out very plainly. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn. Of course, we've gone through the tearing stage, and we're going to go through some more here by the deep state. But then it's the Red Sea for the deep state. It's going to be over. He hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. And of course, here we are after 2 days. On the third day he will raise us up. And here we are on the morning of the third day. And we shall live before him. Let us know. Let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. So here he comes. When is he coming? He's coming on the morning of the third day. He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. So true. He is the first. The man-child ministry is always the first to receive the anointing. Jesus received the former rain first. He taught the disciples. 3.5 years later, he called the former rain down on the disciples. Okay, now we're a little different, although it's the same in a way, because here at the end of this period of time, we again are coming to the man-child, but this time we were given the former rain. So, but we haven't received the latter rain. I believe the man-child is the first, again, just as Jesus was first, to receive the the latter rain, and then he's going to give it to the disciples. Okay, so history always repeats in a perfect form here. However, this time the former and the latter rain will be given, according to Joel chapter 2. And people who haven't yet received the former rain will receive it, because the Israelites received the outpouring of the Spirit spiritually when they went into the wilderness. They were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. So there is going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God, a revival wherein people who haven't received the former rain will receive it, and the man-child will receive the latter rain. And then, of course, after teaching, the man-child will give the latter rain teaching or anointing to the disciples. Just history repeating. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Okay, so he will come unto us. He will come. It tells you right here, on the morning of the third day, which is now, of course, but that's a kind of a broad statement, so. But we believe through the signs that we're receiving that it's close. Then she received a verse in random by faith, Mark 7:15. And it says, "There is nothing from without the man that going into him can defile him. But the things which proceed out of the man are those that defile the man." In other words, this being applied to this text shows us that those who speak against the word will not be in the man-child body and will be removed from the leadership by Babylon. We'll show you that in just a few minutes. I just want to give you a little bit of a confirmation to this dream, because we've had many dreams like this. And this is just one of many, which I will put the link on the text so that anybody wants to go and look at them, they can go and look at them. And the name of this one was, we called it 12 Man Children Going Forth from UBM. And that person is anonymous, but we know who it is. And that was given in 2008, November the 9th of 2008. I had a dream about David, and I have never dreamed about him before. In it, he was in a large room with the other brethren and myself. We were talking together, and for some reason, my mother was with me. And I called her over to introduce her to David. Our mother, many times, is the church that we're born out of when you come to the man-child ministry. About this time, some men came to take David to another place, and they went off to his right. Everyone started rushing in that direction. I also started running and came up to a railing with an opening in it. I had the impression that this may have been a stadium or an arena, as I believe there were steps going down and possibly also levels above. I stood there in the opening to see what was happening. Well, stadiums are places where the word is passed on to increasingly larger rows of people, which is what happens with the word. You know, it goes out to some people, they give it to others, they give it to others, you know. So this is a very good symbolism here. I stood there for a bit and then moved to another area. However, there were so many people in front of me that I could not see, so I went back to where I was at first. And when I got there, someone said, "It's over. It's finished. Only 12 received this gifting, anointing, or equipping for the work ahead," quote unquote. I believe it could be 12 from the UBM Fellowship. That's what Anonymous said here. Everyone was very joyful and excited about this. And when I woke, I pondered this dream a long time and believed that this was the man-child anointing. I distinctly remember that only 12 were given this anointing. Well, UBM has been prophesied for years to be a spearhead of the man-child ministry. because God gives us so many dreams and visions and revelations about it to go forth. And anyway, the head of the man-child body is born first, and then the body, and then the anointing. We receive that through dreams and visions. And this could represent 12 people from UBM, and it could also represent a portion of 12 spiritual tribes from the 12 apostolic forefathers. In all, there will be 12,000 from 12 spiritual forefathers of 12 tribes, making 144,000 that come into the man-child ministry. So, the number 12 could very well be just symbolic, you know. And we have a page with a whole bunch of these 12 man-children from UBM, and I'll put that link here. We received this text in our morning meeting by faith at random, Isaiah 22:15-25. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, go, get thee unto this treasurer, even unto Shebna, who is over the house of God, right? Which is the people of God. And say, what dost thou here? And whom hast thou here that thou hast hewed thee out here a sepulcher? Hewing him out a sepulcher on high, graving a habitation for himself in the rock. Not only that, he's dead. This is a picture of the dead church following dead people. Behold, the Lord, like a strong man, will hurl thee away violently. He's going to get rid of those who rule over the house. Yea, he will wrap thee up closely. He will surely wind thee round and round and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there shall be the chariots of thy glory. Thou shame of thy Lord's house. Yes, because the apostate leadership of the apostate denominations and non-denominational denominations are all the same. They're dead. They're not living. It's not the living word that comes out of their mouth. It's not the word of God in its completeness, which we're supposed to be growing into. And nobody should teach a partial gospel, which they all do. And I will thrust thee from thine office, and from thy station shalt thou be pulled down. So we received this in our morning meeting. And it represents the apostate leadership of God's people being removed by God and then replaced. Okay, so here's the rest of it, the replacing part. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, meaning God of rising. I believe this represents the resurrection life of Jesus, that anointing of Jesus, the resurrection life in Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, that is, the former ruler of the house. I will clothe him with thy robe. He will take the place of Shebna. And strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand. You remember Isaiah 9:6 speaks about the man-child being born and the government being upon his shoulders. And, that happened in Jesus' time, but we now know that it's going to happen again in Jesus' time because Jesus is coming. We just discovered that. A lot of people don't know that Jesus is coming. He's coming in a body of the Son of David, just like he did before, but this time it's a corporate body. If you don't believe in corporate bodies, how do you believe in the body of Christ? It's a corporate body, isn't it? And its head has to be corporate too. because it's a corporate body. See, if you're in the body of Christ, you're in a corporate body that's worldwide, not just Jesus in Jerusalem, right? I will commit thy government into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Jerusalem represents the bride. John was told that in Revelation. And to the house of Judah, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Well, again, this is sitting upon the throne of David, right? The key is, of course, to open and to close, right? To bind and to loose, right? And he shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. In other words, what he says goes. Kind of like Jesus, when he was on the earth in a body of the Son of David, what he said goes. It went. It happened. And 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. Now, pay attention to this. I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a throne of glory to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. The glory. You know, we're waiting for the manifestation of sonship, the manifestation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is glory in a person? It is Christ shining out from them by his Spirit and by his Word. Okay. The offspring and the issue. He's the beginning and the end, isn't he? Every small vessel from the cups even unto all the flagons. So, the former generation of apostate leadership will have been removed. We're coming to that place. They're going to be removed. 25. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that was fastened in a sure place give way. What was that? Shebna. And it shall be hewn down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Well, let me tell you about an amazing thing that happened to me yesterday evening. An amazing thing happened by the hand of God yesterday evening, and it brought this text and teaching to mind, in particular this verse, verse 25. And that's what started this whole revelation and teaching here. I had taken an open satchel that has two handles on it. It's very flexible. It's made for carrying wood. And I took it from the nail that it had hung on in the closet to go out and bring in some new red oak wood. Now, I'm thinking about the parable here. The red, we rarely ever see, when we cut into an oak tree, red wood inside it. This one's got red wood inside it. And, though thy sins be as scarlet, they shall be white. This is talking about, I believe, sin, a parable of sin, this red. And we had just split this log. We had just cut it down and split it. And so I went out with this satchel to get some of it to try it in the wood heater. Because sometimes it has to dry for a while. But we had just split this. And of course, the burden that was upon the nail was cut off. So as you throw this wood, of course, as we threw it into the heater, it was cut off. It burned up. So I put it in the wood heater. And after this, I took the satchel back to hang it on the nail that had been there for many years. And when I did so, The satchel, which weighs nothing, it's just a carrying pouch, you know, for carrying wood. And the nail fell to the floor. I was surprised, to say the least. And then verse 25 came to me. And that, and it says, in that day, says the Lord, they shall the nail that was fastened in a sure place give way. It shall be hewn down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. That came to me. And I said, Lord, are you about to remove the evil leadership? So then I went and got a hammer and put the nail back in the same hole that it fell out of. And it drove in tight. It wasn't possible that it fell out without help. Now I know it will be God's help, of course, you know. But anyway, God was just giving me a little parable there. And it was so good. And of course, God's people being delivered from bondage to apostate so-called Christian religion is a great thing. What happens to the people that kept them that way is not a great thing, but we'll get to that. So, anyway, Judy received this text in our morning meeting by faith at random, and it shows the bad fig administration and their people removed by the king of Babylon, who we have been shown is our deep state Babylon. And then, of course, came the good fig administration. So Jeremiah 24, 1 through 10 was given to Judy. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. And after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, he was the nephew of Zedekiah, who actually ruled before Zedekiah because he was placed there by Nebuchadnezzar. And he rebelled, and so did Zedekiah after him rebelled, right? And they were taken down. And Babylon had taken away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah and the craftsmen and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon, took them into bondage. The apostate leadership of that time caused Babylon, caused God through Babylon, to bring them into bondage. Now let me say that in a spiritual way, this captivity to Babylon, the Bible calls the mother of the harlots, has been happening to the false leadership who went astray in the harlot churches. They went to their Bible schools and learned from men instead of going to the Word itself and learning from God. And then they're trapped because now they've taught this evil and they don't want to admit they're wrong because pride of religion moves in there, you know. And they are of the world. And the U.S. Babylon is what they've been created after. And they pledge allegiance to it, for goodness sake. Wonder what happens when you pledge allegiance to something. Well, you're following in its steps, right? And teach their Pharisaical foolishness to their poor people. However, this historic happening points to something more physical to come, as we will see. Okay. Continuing on with the text that was given to Judy, verse 2, Jeremiah 24, verse 2. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe. Well, that's the first fruits, and it represents the man-child administration. And the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. And guess what that is? That's the evil apostate generation that brought God's people into a worldly religion that they believe is Christianity and it's not. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad. They cannot be eaten, they are so bad. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I regard the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for good. Folks, the good and the bad have been under the Chaldeans. They have ruled over this land. And the last few administrations were totally so, totally so. Not that the first ones weren't, but the last ones were very bad. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. Well, these are the first fruits that come out of Babylon to rebuild. They're the good figs. And I will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Oh, praise God. We are living in the day. Verse 8. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, that apostate leader. He was the uncle of Jeconiah, who followed his nephew as king, right? Zedekiah followed Jeconiah as king. Two bad, bad administrations here. The king of Judah and his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. These are the bad figs. So bad they can't be eaten. You partake of them, you become like them. We don't want to be one of these religions of the world. These are works of the flesh, Paul said. A division and a strife, a denomination is a work of the flesh. Verse 9, I will even give them up to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth for evil, to be a reproach and a proverb. I will And a taunt and a curse in all the places whither I shall drive them. Because they did not represent Christianity. Read the book of Acts. Look what Christianity looks like. Everything since then has been a falling away, just as we were warned. The Dark Ages. The mother of harlots brought forth a bunch of children that the Bible calls harlots. Not a good deal, is it? So he's going to give them to be tossed to and fro throughout all the kingdoms of the earth. In other words, they're going into captivity to the kingdoms of the world. Wherever these people are, they're in captivity to the people of the world. To be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them. Now, this is what happened with Zedekiah, of course. They were besieged by the wicked Babylonian system from without. There was famine. There was pestilence. Babylon used these things to bring them down. And the sword. Until they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. And this destruction by the apostates, or this destruction of the apostates, I should say, by deep state Babylon through sword, famine, and pestilence, is that which we've been told by the Lord. Amen. So it all fits. Then we can look at Jeremiah 29:16-19, which says, "Thus saith the Lord concerning thee, king that sitteth on the throne of David." That was an apostate king. "Concerning all the people that dwell in this city, your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs," if you want a confirmation, "that cannot be eaten, they are so bad. And I will pursue after them with the sword and with famine and with pestilence," if you want a confirmation, "and will deliver them to be tossed to and fro throughout all the kingdoms of the earth, to be an execration and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened unto my words." Now, whenever Israel did not hearken unto God's words, or Judah, they were driven into captivity. That's a natural thing that happens. If you don't obey God's word, you're in captivity to your sin, right? "Says the Lord, who wherewith I sent unto them my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but you would not hear, says the Lord." Okay, so after the bad figs of the apostate administration and their people were removed by Babylon through sword, famine, and pestilence, the reformer leadership of those who came out of Babylon as the man-child administration were anointed. That's the good figs, right? So here again, the bad figs are removed. Ezekiel 17. I will read to you 1 through 4 and 12. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel." Well, he speaks to us many parables, doesn't he? These dreams and visions are parables, and they can only be interpreted in the light of Scripture. But Jesus spoke in parables. The man-child today will speak in parables. There's no difference. It's going to happen again. The things that have been and the things that shall be. Some people don't like parables, but parables are there to so that God can reveal the truth to whom he wants to reveal the truth to. That's people that love the truth. And so that he can hide the truth from those he wants to hide it from, because they don't love the truth. They don't do the truth, right? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? "And say, thus saith the Lord, a great eagle," which was Babylon, "with great wings and long pinions, full of feathers, which had divers colors," probably red, white, and blue, "came unto Lebanon and took the top of the cedar." Took the top of the cedar. That's the leadership. "He cropped off the topmost of the young twigs thereof and carried it into a land of traffic," which was Babylon. "He set it in a city of merchants." And they, what does the Lord say? "They make merchandise of you." Yes. And then down in verse 12. "Say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem and took the king thereof," the topmost twigs, right? "Took the king thereof and the princes thereof and brought them to him to Babylon." So that's what the parable was talking about. The taking of what we now know as the bad figs to Babylon. They're in Babylonish captivity. Why are they in Babylonish captivity? They're bad figs. Okay. Well, their preachers think, their people think that their preachers are good. That's because they haven't read the Word, and they don't know what original Christianity looks like, and they're not interested because their preachers told them it changed over these years. Well, of course, through the great falling away that we were told would happen. Okay. So then, the good figs return and rebuild. Again in Ezekiel 17, this time in 22 through 24. Thus saith the Lord, I will also take of the lofty top of the cedar, which is an evergreen, right? And I will set it, I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it upon a high and a lofty mountain. I would say that's the kingdom of God, Mount Zion. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs, and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all birds of every wing. In the shade of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, that's the bad figs, right? And have exalted the low tree, and have dried up the green tree, and made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. So this is what's happening. The taking down of the bad figs of the apostate leadership and the building up of the new leadership when these are gone. And although they're, like I said, the man-child's ministry has been here, it hasn't come to the anointing. David had a ministry, right? Joseph had a ministry. Both of them had a ministry before they came to the throne, the catching up to the throne. So the man-child ministry is here. It hasn't been born as a ministry yet. It's immature, as we see, as far as the anointing that's going to come. Because they're going to do the mighty, mighty works of Jesus and have the discernment of Jesus and the gifts of Jesus, etc. He's going to live through them. Now, although God himself sent deep state Babylon against his rebellious people to bring those who will to repentance and to bring those who are keeping God's people in bondage down, he will judge the deep state and will bring down their downfall through Cyrus, whom we have been shown is President Trump. And here are some verses that we received by faith at random that show this. Shalonda got Hosea 8, 1 through 4. Set the trumpet to thy mouth as an eagle. There it is again, the symbol of Babylon. As an eagle, he, who's he? God, cometh against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. The law is there. It's already there. You cannot add to it. You cannot take away from it without coming under the curse of the last four verses of the Bible. You cannot do it. But they do it and think they have impunity. They shall cry unto me, my God, we Israel know thee. Well, that's what they think. They think they know the Lord. After all, their preachers went to Bible school and told them how it is. 3. Israel hath cast off that which is good. The enemy shall pursue him. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Yep, it's a sad state that the church is in. And Matt Farah got this. Jeremiah 25, 9 through 11. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them. Have they been doing that or what? Who are the nations round about? The same ones they're destroying over there in the Middle East. The same ones. And make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. Remember the northern army? There was the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride there. And the northern army, you know, came to destroy the bride and failed and was destroyed and cast into the sea. Their own Red Sea, right? The sound of the millstone and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Okay, like I said, there is a twofold fulfillment of this. One for the church in the tribulation, one for the bride and the man-child before the tribulation, because they have to be somewhat perfected before that time. They're the ones leading the flock. And then Sue Gilbert got Isaiah 44, 24 through 28. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth. And who is with me that frustrateth the signs of the liars? Yeah. And they've come up with all kinds of stuff that has nothing to do with the truth, you know. And maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. Even books that we might have chewed on when we were young, like the late great Planet Earth, you know, hardly any of it came to pass, but it got us into the Word, right? People that were hungry for truth could go on and find out what the truth was, right? That confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah they shall be built. This after being destroyed by Babylon, right? Like our deep state has done. They shall be built, and I will raise up the waste places thereof, that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That's the Red Sea. And that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, that is the bride, she shall be built. And of the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Has he gotten to that point yet? He is getting to that point now. You think he's going to be cut off? Okay, so Angelica got this. Ezra 1, 5 through 11. Then rose up the heads of fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin and of the priests and of the Levites, even all whose spirit God has stirred to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem. Here's the rebuilders. The apostates tore it down, and now God's rebuilding it with his good figs. And all they that were round about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and of gold, with goods, with beasts, and with precious things besides all that was willingly offered. Yes, the Lord is going to provide greatly for this rebuilding. Don't you forget it. It's coming. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem. And this, of course, the vessels of the house. The house is the people of God, right? The vessels of the people of God, right? And he put them in the house of his gods, which is pretty much so. This is what's happened. Babylon has put them in the house of their gods. Those vessels that didn't belong to Babylon, they belong to the promised land people. And, of course, they're going to come out and be restored as God restores the kingdom, right? We're talking about people being restored. We are vessels, right? Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithraedith, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar. Sheshbazzar was a court name for the leader that came out of Babylon, Zerubbabel, which means born from Babylon. He was a type of the man-child, right? The prince of Judah. Yes, he was. And verse 9, and this is the number of them, 30 platters of gold, 1,000 platters of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 bowls of gold, silver bowls of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar, or Zerubbabel, bring up when they of the captivity were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Oh, praise God. Now, God's about to start rebuilding the kingdom. But the bad figs are in the way. The bad figs are, of course, losing it. They're being demon-possessed in many different ways, like Babylon is. But there's something big coming. I believe it's going to be an attack by the hand of the deep state, by the hand of God. So they're returning to rebuild the kingdom. Isn't that good news? Good news, but some terrible things are going to happen first. And many people are going to be brought down. Those with the blood over their doorposts will see the destroyer pass over. You know, how does the blood over your doorposts? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7-9. We have fellowship one with another. We don't faction like the denominations did. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. So how do you have your blood over the doorposts? How do some people have their blood over the doorposts? That you can't do this to people? Bring them into bondage to a false and foreign religion and still call it Christianity? And religious spirits that are ruling over it? The dragon himself rules over it? The dragon rules over false Christian religions. Babylon was the god of Babylon was the dragon. Bel. Sometimes it's translated serpent, sometimes it's translated dragon, but in Revelation 12 we know they are the same. So, the vessels of honor are going to return and rebuild. So there's a shaking coming, folks. We just need to be ready for it. We need to be prayed up. We need to be able to recognize, cooperate with God, not let false and evil things come out of our mouth, as we read earlier. These are what defiles a person and makes them incapable of being a vessel of gold and silver in the promised land and the temple of God. So, praise you, Father. Father, thank you so much for warning us, Lord, of the things to come. Thank you so much for the victory that you have given unto us, Lord, that even though the Babylonish deep state smites this country, there is still going to be a very promising deliverance for the true people of God. We thank you, Lord, for doing that. We ask, Lord, that you put it in the heart of your saints out there to pray to this end, to bring it to pass. To pray according to your will and according to your word, that your people will be delivered out of bondage to these Babylonish substitutes. And they'll climb over the playpen bars and they'll get out of it and come forth from it. And they will follow true and new leadership, which you will ordain and you will show very soon in your time. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, all right, saints, thank you so much for joining us again. God bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again sometime. Good night.